when you actually believe, you actually hold on to that like glimpse of hope, and you find a way, like, what is it that makes you sparkle? And you hang on to that and you keep doing it until like you actually know what it is. Maybe you don't know it yet, but you're just following a feeling. And suddenly, like a cat, like a butterfly, you come out of this cocoon that you had around you. And one thing that I really try to show in my artworks is, it's not about whether you're a man or a woman. As a human, we need to have our female and male energies inside us balance. And this is what is incredibly imbalanced right now. I could be a woman and still have that female side, like very small inside me.
Welcome to episode number 97 of the New Work Heroes podcast. My name is Jörn Hendrik and I'm your host on the heroes' journeys of interesting artists, inspiring entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and everyone actually being on the way of living his or her soul path. And Dorsa Ahari definitely does exactly that. She is a conceptual artist based in Berlin. She mostly works with collages, but she's also a strategic manager and computer scientist. And she bridges these two worlds skillfully and talks about her passion of becoming an artist, actually calling herself an artist. And of course, this is a very special episode because Dorsa Ahari is the mastermind behind the Wish Frame project that launches today with a beautiful launch event and a vernissage in Berlin. And yeah, if you want to know more about our collaboration and the art project, please check the show notes or go to the mini site on newworkhero.es/wishframe. And I am really happy to make this interview a special one because we actually had her four artworks laying in front of us and we're going through the questions, as you know, but with the inspiration of Dorsa's beautiful art. I wish you an inspiring interview and that Dorsa's thoughts of bridging cultures and passions leads you to some new decisions and metamorphoses in your life. Welcome to the New Work Heroes podcast, dear Dorsa.
Hello, and thank you for having me here. Super excited.
That's great, and I'm excited too because it's my first episode in English.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my first interview in English.
Amazing. That's why I could never listen to your podcast because they were all in German, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's with AI, of course, we do have the opportunity to translate it and whatever, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so, I'm so happy that you are breaking this barrier and make it available for everyone.
I feel very honored. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here and following my invite. I think it's a special and interesting interview because we also, by kind of doing this interview, have a cooperation. But also, further than that, you are an artist and participated in the collaboration through my Grow a Little artworks that I did. And of course, we will talk about this too.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Let's start right away. I would love to, I did a little bit of an intro already, so mm-hmm. This happened before. But still, I mean, you are like across different worlds, I'd say, right?
Yes.
So you need to earn your money, but then you do have your art. And
yes.
So how do you introduce yourself if someone asks, what do you do for a living?
Yeah, that's a super complicated question. And yeah, when somebody asks me, I'm like, damn it, what do I say now? So what do I do? I'm creative. I'm an artist, but I'm also a strategic manager, which at the end, they kind of are in harmony with each other because in collage, what I do, I find or break down the pieces and like a puzzle, put them together to make sense of them or to create something new. And this is what I also do in my job, which as a strategic manager, I kind of look at the current structures, how things are being run, and I separate the pieces and trying to repuzzle them so they work more fluently and they function better. So at the end, the brain is functioning the same, just different outputs in the external world. Yeah.
So not so much with your hands, but with your brains.
Yes.
When you're a strategic way. What was the thing that you put together this week? I mean, it's Tuesday, so maybe the week is young, but still, in the last days, maybe. Was there something that was like, oh, that's great. This, I saw a connection here that was interesting.
At work?
Yeah,
maybe. At work. Yeah, I'm working to redesign the RFP process that we are doing at work. So basically breaking down into separate parts and seeing how I can reshuffle them and what needs to be added or removed. So yeah, that's something I'm doing. I did today.
This is like a collage. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, everything is every day you look at your closet, you have the same amount of clothes. And every day you style it differently. You put this jumper with this trouser and it's a collage, you know. Same with cooking. And if you look at it, everything is like that.
I should look at my life too, maybe, because being an agile coach in my, like, the main role that I'm doing currently would be like, I'm actually doing a lot of repetitional work. Like I do daily scrum meetups and, you know, explaining every time the same thing. Yeah. So let's swap, please, one day. We'd love to go to walk a bit in your shoes. Okay. Beautiful. Let's jump to the start of our hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And I would love to, because we have your beautiful artworks actually in the original shape laying in front of us, which is a beautiful idea for a podcast. And we don't want to explain artworks in an audio podcast, but still, the first step would be Abyssos, we are talking about inner doubts before you start your journey, and I would love to get to know, is there anything that you are doubting at the moment when you think about the world, your world, and yeah, as an artist but also as a woman?
Mm-hmm. Interesting question. For me it was super challenging but also exciting to work on this project, because every step resonated with me. So I did go through this big process of doubt. At the moment when you ask me, I'm very proud to say there is no big doubts in my head, because throughout this journey I realized that I need to let go of the control and trust the process. So if there is something that I'm sure about right now, I'm not doubting it, because I'm pretty sure it's going to work out to my favor one way or another. But I had to go through years of like internal and also external development to get here. So actually, thank you for reminding me that I've reached here right now. But yes, as a woman, as an artist, as somebody who is a foreigner in different countries, not a native speaker, doubt is like a daily thing in so many ways. And also as a young adult, you also are full of doubt. You don't know where you are going. You don't know if the degree you're studying is the right thing, which career to choose, where to go, which relationship to go. I mean, everything is a doubt, you know, until you come out to the certain point. So yes, this part was very smooth for me to create, actually. It was one of the pieces that I sat down and immediately the pieces came together, because I spent a lot of time there myself.
Mm. Which is also a bit sad if we think that way, that there is a lot of doubt for you being a foreigner. Could be easier, right? Mm-hmm. Could be like welcoming and this kind of, you know, there's a community that embraces you or whatever. But I think it's absolutely brave to do this. Me being a German, being in the capital city of Berlin, of course, feels international, but I'm German. So I can do all of the bureaucratic things, you know, whatever, the little things that you need to do to get your apartment or, you know, paying your taxes. So this is something that's easy for me, must be different for you. So it's a dark, you know, we can talk about it. It's a very dark image because there's a lot of black in it, but also I can see hope in it, right? So it's not only darkness, but yeah, but also a glitter of hope. How would you describe it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very dark, because I think when you're in those moments that you feel stuck, that you are drowning in fear, everything feels dark around you. But it is that sparkle of hope that kind of like encourages you to hang on and come out of it. And I use a lot of, not to describe the artwork, but stones in the artwork, because that's like, for me, when I was creating the pieces, we are at the end like creatures running on this planet, right? Something is grounding us down, and stone is something that goes from the core of Earth to like where we are standing. It takes different shapes. It can be very hard rock, or it can be a diamond or a sapphire, you know, but it's inside us, you know, and this stone is keep changing, you know, from different shapes to different forms. Maybe you get a diamond one day, hopefully we all get, but yeah.
With enough pressure, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, beautiful. I like that. So it's like this kind of inner connection to Earth and life itself that is deep inside of us, yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Love that. Tell me a bit about yourself. I mean, of course, I'm equipped with a lot of questions that I could go into. How was it earlier in your life when you thought about doubt and like moving forward? Do you remember certain situations where you were struggling harder than today?
I think the first, when you say doubt, the first time that came to my mind is when I was picking which degree to study at the university. I really wasn't sure what I need to study. That's probably because I grew up in an education system that is very disciplined, very strong, highly focused on mathematics or science, not at all exploring your creative side or like a sporty side or nothing else.
Where was it? Can you give us some detail?
So I'm born and raised in Iran, and I moved when I was 18 to UK to study for university. And I did, my family is very artistic. My father is an architect. And I grew up always traveling to Europe and other countries. But still, as a child growing up in that education system, there was no time to explore my talents in other ways. So I was extremely good at mathematics. But it was never something that sparks my soul. So I was not passionate about it. And when I was applying for university, in Iran, it's very straightforward. You either become a doctor or engineer or lawyer. Like, there's not other things that much.
But you strive for to get a good income.
Exactly. And I remember when I opened the application form for University of York, it was like at least like 100 different variations, like mathematics with philosophy, art with math. And I was so confused. I couldn't even like make sense what are these things. And I think that was the first moment that it came to me. And the reason it was very doubtful, because as a foreigner, when you go to study at university, the tuition fees are also extremely high, and you don't have much leg room to maneuver. So you study 1 year and then you drop out and you say, okay, now I want to do it. Like, I was not even aware of any of these things. So I knew like, okay, I need to make a decision, and this decision is going to define rest of my life.
And based on like nothing that you...
Based on exactly advices of others. Okay, you are good in mathematics. Technology is the future. Why don't you study computer science? So I studied computer science. Yes.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I like the decision. I mean, it's a bit like...
It was a strategically very well-made decision, and and the degree has opened so many doors for me, so I don't look back regretting it. But it was, I was full of doubt when I look at back time. Yeah, it felt a little bit like this artwork. Like, I was full of hope because I was going to a new environment, new opportunities, but I was really... I was like, is this the right thing for me? Am I made to do this? Can I be happy doing this thing? You know, all of the questions popping up, yeah.
Actually, it reminds me about an interesting video that I saw, all in German, but from the Ministry of Economics. And they were like, because we had, I mean, it's International Women's Day, the 8th, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's even not only in Germany, but in Berlin, it is a holiday.
Yeah.
So, they're always arguing a bit that, you know, Berlin and the north of Germany has not as much holidays as the south, which is a very German thing to think about when you have free and when you need to work. But still, that's a thing that Berliners are proud of. Women's Day is a proper holiday. Mm-hmm. And this time was a Friday, even better. So, and I saw a video about a woman saying, just study something technical, because then nobody will ask you if you really know things, right? Because this technical degree will open doors for you and whatever. This is what reminded me, your explanation reminded me of.
And the funny thing is, I was actually shocked about this because in Iran it's totally normal girls going for engineering. I mean, actually, they are like most seats at universities when I was there at least was occupied by girls. And here was the opposite. So the first day of university, I actually walked in the lecture room. It was like about 100 guys sitting there. I walked out. I thought I'm in the wrong room. And the receptionist was like, no, you're in the right. And I was like, what? I was so shocked. And every time in a freshers week, you're out drinking, you know, and you're partying and people are asking what you're doing. And I'm like, computer science. And everybody was like, what? I mean, that was the first time I really felt like something is off here. Like where I come from, it's normal for women to study these things. We don't even question it. But here people looked at me as if like I'm a weirdo, but also in a fascinating way. And yes, it did open doors for me. But in general, because I was not so passionate about it, so it was not like I was striving very high, you know, like opening big doors. But it got me where I am. Because I mean, it shows you have a critical thinker, problem solver, and all of those things at the end is a stamp of approval, let's say, that you have these things. You don't need to prove yourself.
And one of your superpowers is bringing things together and seeing the big picture and, you know, creating something new. Amazing. When did you discover that you have this artist heart and this passion for what you're doing?
From a very early young age. I was creating things, like throwing things around on a paper, but my artistic side, let's say, got like crushed over a few times by certain people. Like maybe once a teacher laughed at me or some friends laughed at the artwork. So I felt like, oh no, I'm not good at this. I should just stick to mathematics and what I'm good at. But the urge was always there. And I always in my head wanted to do a class to learn painting. But you need to dedicate time and hours to get to that stage. So I was also in my early 20s and I was running around. But the urge was there until one day I was scrolling Instagram. And I don't know from where I saw a collage artist making a collage. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really easy. I have a paper, I have scissors, and I have glue at home. So I grabbed any magazine next to me, and I just created something. And I was like, oh, this is really easy. I can do that. So I created a couple of more. And as life puts it, you know, the universe supports your journey. At that time, I was I had some new friends that they were very artistic, but also extremely supportive. So up to this point, my friends were not so supportive. And one of them, they saw my artworks and she was like, you know, you do have a talent here, like your composition, your colors. Why don't you create more? So she was my main,
mentor,
like mentor or motivator. And she was the one who was like, okay, now you need to create Instagram. Now you need to do that. And like really helped me to come out of those like self-doubt moments that for almost 25 years have been constantly like installed in me. But yeah, the urge was there. I just had to find a way to bring it out.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I really like that description of this process, and I can relate very strongly because, you know, being like a consultant, I would say, or, you know, organizational designer, whatever, earning money with daily rates and whatever, I always have a bad conscience about saying that I'm an artist, but I wrote 3 books, I create podcasts, and now I'm actually creating also films. So what should I do more to actually be an artist around, and actually a poly artist, but I still struggle about saying I'm an artist. I mean, and how is it for you? Is it still difficult for you to say this, or would you say that you're across this? You've overcome this doubt.
I would say I'm close to overcoming it, like 80-90% there. So now when somebody asked me, I actually say it. But I had to create my identity. And I think Berlin gave me this space. Because for me, at least my experience was in Berlin, the room is there for you to explore and to become who you want to be. Nobody is really looking at your like university degree, your background. Like if you have a way to express yourself, and if it's people like it, they like it, and you're there. And I spent the last few years here to kind of like build that identity. And the more I go forward, the more actually my confidence was built that, okay, now I am. I can do this. Like, it's not about the degree. It's about like I'm actually working in it. People are coming to me. I'm talking about it. And yeah, I am an artist.
Beautiful. I love Berlin for doing exactly this to you. Very nice. I'm very proud of my capital city to do that. Also for me, to be honest, because I honestly have to say that I came to Berlin because of that. Because in Hamburg, where I used to live, beautiful city also, it's my hometown, but still, it was not possible. It didn't feel right. And yeah, I definitely, yeah. I'm not still there yet. I think 60 to 70%, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, let's see where this is going. Let's take the next step, dear, and go to Metamorphosis, the second step of the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And by looking at your beautiful artwork, it's like completely different from the first. And yeah, it's bright, it's light. There's this beautiful butterflies looking at that. Could you guide us a bit on the process?
Well... I'm trying to think about like what we just talked right now, that process of like rebirth and like a caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. That's where I actually experienced it after this. I discovered like, finally I can have a way to express my artistic side and with friends and with different, like that period of my life, I connected to this artwork. When you actually believe, you actually hold on to that like glimpse of hope and you find a way, like what is it that makes your soul or like heart to like sparkle, and you hang on to that and you keep doing it until like you actually know what it is. Maybe you don't know it yet, but you're just following a feeling. And the more you do it, the more this feeling becomes more and more and takes over your body, and you know yourself more through this process. What you like, what you don't like, your boundaries, who you should be with, who you should not be with. And suddenly, like a cat, like a butterfly, you come out of this cocoon that you had around you.
Beautiful. Did you actually know a very scary thing? Yeah. How a butterfly really develops? Do you know caterpillars? Because you would think of, and then there's this kind of, you know, wormy caterpillar, and then it grows a little leg, and then it grows a bit of the wing. Do you actually know the truth?
Tell me.
They dissolve into fluid and rebuild all over again.
Wow.
That's crazy, right? Like every butterfly on Earth, they become to a process where they completely dissolve into liquid. Like everything, I think the brain is still intact or something, but not even that. It's like building complete new. Mm. It's crazy. It's like, and when I heard it, I was like, okay, that's true, because it is a complete metamorphosis. You are becoming something new.
Transforming completely.
You're transforming completely.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that crazy?
So many ways, exactly.
So that maybe that's why the butterfly is, I mean, the symbol of a transformation and metamorphosis. And how's it been for you in your life? So would you say that university was one of those moments, or this moment in becoming an artist, or are there even earlier
definitely
memories?
After my university, because while I was at university, I think I was still pretty much following the given path that you see in the movies or in society expects of you. Finish your degree, get a good paid job, do this, like, and it was after that, parallel to when I told you the story of like discovering the artistic part of me. That was when I went through this process, let's say. And it's a long one. I mean, for me at least. It's not like a butterfly that, you know, it takes you some months or whatever. But no, for me it took years, because it's like layers and layers. And the more you dissolve one part, you come out of it, and then there's another part you realize, okay, this one is still stuck in that stone. I need to like now work on this one. But for me right now, my intuition is my compass. So I really try to learn to listen to it. And if somewhere feels dark or heavy inside me, that's where I still need to work on. And I know it's never ending process, so I've learned to enjoy it as much as I can.
Yeah, enjoy the journey, right? I mean, that's an interesting part to say, because sometimes it's not enjoyable at all, right? I mean, it's so nice to talk about this once you've gone through this, but when you're there in the dark and, you know, something is like, and also very interesting, we can see a stone also in this image, mm-hmm. right? So there's this kind of in the center, the basis, and then everything grows out of this. So it still has this connection also to this dark place where something is rooted, right?
Exactly. And you can break that stone and come out of it. And what you said is so right. It's not a pretty easy process, but I always think of, okay, once it's finished, this step behind it is so beautiful, because like that was actually the first theme that when I started making collages professionally, the idea was showing the beauty behind pain, kind of encouraging the observer that embrace change. Yes, it's painful, it's scary, but behind it, it's so beautiful what is waiting for you that is worth it to go through this. Otherwise, you're like stuck where you are, like this big stone that is in this artwork. You're not moving forward. You're there forever.
Yeah, and this is also what makes it so delicate. I mean, I admired it so much. I mean, all of the four pieces, but this is like this kind of getting together, the kind of cold, harsh stone, like, so to say, and then, you know, this kind of delicate also skin and fragility of the wings of the butterflies. So it's a beautiful composition, really.
Thank you.
What helps you to overcome the process, or, you know, to finally break free of the cocoon? What do you think? What helps you?
I think at some point, I mean, not forever, it's my personal experience. You look around you, maybe you've achieved the things that you dreamed of. You have what you always planned to have, but you're not really happy. Like, maybe you're pretending you are, or maybe you're trying to book two more holidays or buy five more things to have that. But you really look around and feel like, okay, something is missing, something is not right. I don't know what it is, but this is not the state I want to be. Which clearly is not going to get improved by like two more shoes or, you know, five more going nights out or whatever. So for me, that was it. That was the trigger. That was when the first crack happened on the surface. But I am, since forever, I'm very curious about personal development or the connection we have, our souls to surroundings. So that also for sure has played a part. So when these feelings happened, I was courageous enough to break from all of that. I quitted my job. I broke the relationship I was in. I moved out from the city. Everything that was part of that scenario, I just cut it off. And I was like, I need to figure it out. Like, who I am and what actually makes me happy. What does Dorsa want to do? What does she want to work as? Like, which city she wants to like live in? Which friends she wants to have? I mean, you don't know the answers, but you need to just go and try different things to finally find your way.
Wow, that sounds like your own collage, honestly.
Yes.
Like, cutting even. Ah, you said it. You said cutting.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's scary. What will you cut next? Oh my God.
No. It won't be as harsh like that. I mean, when I think of it, I was so far away from where I am today. So it needed a harsh break. Yeah.
Mm. Nice. Is there any childhood memory or story, or I'm always like looking for something like also cultural that's different that you would kind of attach to this? I don't know. Maybe a dish or a poem or...
We Iranians are quite spiritual.
You are,
I would say,
absolutely.
You know, like you said, like poems, you know, like we have great like history of poetry, Rumi, you know, like example, you know, that's, I think, number one that a lot of people know him, like Westerners. So it's all about like knowing yourself as spirituality. So growing up, you also study these like poems in school, You also hear them at home. So you're not so disconnected. You always know something is out there. You always know there is a soul. There is a way that you need to, you're connected to your surroundings. So I think this was already in me growing up. And also the connection that you have with your surroundings. You live in different worlds. You see different cultures, different countries, different societies. So you always try to make sense and connect it to yourself. And I think this was a great place to start with. Yeah.
Anything that you remember? Sorry, I'm digging.
Anything that I
like remember? Like a poem, like something, like a saying. The question comes again, so you can
yeah, process it. Ask me later.
Okay, so
yeah.
let's go to the what do you think? I mean, you said there's a lot of changes that you went through, and there's a, you know, metamorphosis and change is not easy for you, but it also kind of erects, like, you know, maybe counterintuitive stops or blockers from the outside. So it could be like that actually the environment and families and friends said, "Why? What are you doing?" So was there at any point some barriers that you felt that came your way where you were like, "Okay, I need to overcome them"? Or
The younger I was, the more, because I didn't know myself at all. So it was so easy. Somebody from outside make a comment, and then from inside I'll be like, "Oh yeah, I'm really bad at this," you know, or like, "Yeah, I shouldn't do that." So I was very always, as a young kid or a teenager, looking for validation from outside. And you don't know what you want, so you're trying to follow others or you wait for others' approval, you know. Like now if I make something or if I do something that a friend is like, actually looks ugly, and I'm like, well, like, that's your opinion, I appreciate it. You don't need to hang it on your wall, but I created this and it's a part of me, and even if nobody wants it, I'm gonna sit in my home, you know. So I'm not gonna let that comment to shatter me from inside and be like, "Oh my God, I can never be an artist. I should never create art." So that transition, thankfully, brought me to this place.
Yeah, beautiful.
And I think nowadays, of course, you always have obstacles internally and externally. You always come across it. But the more in tuned you are and grounded, I think the easier you can navigate through it, and also trying to find the root cause of it. Okay, is it really an external, or is it another self-doubt, or is it another thing that I need to look in internally? Yeah.
Beautiful. So check on the second step, ready for the third one, because there's some nasty questions coming in with this one too. And it's absolutely getting to the very deep foundations, dear Dasa. No, it's Egan, the third step. It's the inner fight.
Yeah.
And I was... When I looked at the artwork, it was like, what am I looking at? It was really like, wow, there's so much in there. And then it's also so delicate. And I would say this is definitely an example of a composition where I would say, wow, this is so special and so unique. So actually, you need to see it to understand it. But also with the snake coming in and all these little details. So maybe guide us a bit through the process. Why does it just depict this fight, the inner fight for you?
I remember when I handed over the artworks to you, we spent a lot of time talking about this one.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
And I wish we recorded this back then.
True. It's
gone
now.
It was really good. Yeah, no, it was really good, our conversation. So let's try to begin with this internal fight.
Yeah.
So when I was going through that transition of like, okay, let's quit my job, let's break the things away. And when I started my art, what I noticed, I really, at first, a lot of the shortages that I had, I took it on myself. I was like, okay, it's internally. It's because I grew up in another country. I'm not native here, because like... I was not grow up in a very empowerment, like female, like situation. So here I'm like more like shy. So everything, I was taking it in and connecting it to myself. But then the more I spoke to people and I was creating my art and going through the process, I realized the fears or all of these topics are same in everybody. So of course I come from a country that is like we have gender apartheid in Iran. So women are second class citizens. But I notice in my female European friends who come from like capital European cities, they also have the same doubts, same fears that me, a girl from Iran, has it. So the surface is different, but a lot of these self-doubt and they are like deeply rooted. They're like transgenerational. They're like passed on to us from our grandmas, from our mothers, and like beyond them. So even though we do live in a very modern society where we don't even question a lot of these things, but you, as a career coach, you also see certain patterns showing up.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And
yeah.
It's the same as me and in Iran. So it was I noticed under the surface, this is same. And then I started, of course, talking to my male colleagues and like males around me. So it's not just about the woman. Men also had, I noticed, like they are also like sharing this. So it's very internal, transgenerational, a lot of these deep-rooted fears and doubts. And a lot of them are, of course, like rooted in patriarchy and systems that we had built in centuries and before. And one thing that I really try to show in my artworks is it's not about whether you're a man or a woman. As a human, we need to have our female and male energies inside us balance, and this is what is incredibly imbalanced right now. I could be a woman and still have that female side like very small inside me. So I try to take it beyond the gender topic that we have these days. You know, I'm a woman, even you inside you need to balance this energy. So this artwork is about like winning that fight to realize that inside me I do have this strong masculine side or a strong like feminine side, but it's not healthy. I need to balance them, and I need to also look back in my history in like generations, like my grandmother and beyond that. It's not personal to me today, and also people around me, they're all the same, and we all collectively have to like, you know, balance this energy.
Gosh, that's amazing. Wow. I mean, transgenerational international trauma. That's you put things together here, girl. That's amazing. I mean, you could talk a lot about, you know, your home country and what is going on at the moment, which is, I mean, sad enough. And there's a lot of, you know, fight. But then putting it to, I see patterns in this around here in Berlin or even, you know, England, we have studied. And that's remarkable. It sounds a bit like you have understood patterns of the fight and took it like inside of you, right? Mm-hmm. You cut it into pieces and reorganized it or something like mm-hmm. that. Because the artwork shows, I mean, we can say this to our listeners, it shows a female body, and inside her is this kind of, I'd say, let's say it's, we actually agreed upon Socrates, right? So it is Socrates in like this marble heads of Socrates inside her. So there's a lot of what you said speaks to me here, that this kind of, you know, male energy needs to be in balance. You know, there's a female body, but this is kind of massive stone.
And to be embraced and loved, you know, it's nothing to be hate, because if we have the other one also, like to overcoming, it's also going to be unhealthy, you know. Yeah, we need to embrace it both and love it.
Yeah.
Nurture them both.
And it's not only about like painting your fingernails and saying you're a feminist if you're a male, but it's like embracing your female side, and also, again, your male side, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and me as a woman need to embrace that instead of like pushing it away and be like, no, I'm like, I, especially from the society that I came from, no, I don't want to be this. I need to like also like look inside me. I mean, it exists in me. It's been installed in me for generations. So now I have a chance to look into it, love those parts that are like good for me, and then the other ones match it with the feminine side, or also get rid of. Also, there's a lot of like nasty feminine energy that is inside me that exists, you know. So it's about like healing and bringing the both sides together in balance.
Wow. I mean, to be honest, this is super, I have to say that this is the wisest thing I've ever heard in Agen, because I'm if I look at all the 50 interviews that I did, everybody's talking about inner fights that they have and relate to it. But you're like kind of having this kind of, it's about the balance. And it's interesting because fight, normally, I would think it is about fighting, right? And it's, yes. But you're like, it's about the balance. So it's actually beyond fighting, which is super intelligent. Also, I mean, you can see it in the pictures, like the fighting things that are there. Honestly, I asked you to put a bit more swords and stuff like on the bottom to make it a bit more
visible.
Yeah. But you actually, there's an armor where she like stands upon and, I don't know, crushed it or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's
the
like
fighting is over.
You don't need this. This fighting is over.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
we don't need to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's balance. And what's the snake stand for you?
Snake. It's funny because it's one animal that I always was super scared, almost had phobia from it. You know, that one thing that you dream and you wake up and it's a nightmare. And one day I was in this random place in London, completely random. And I was like, I don't know, I was like drinking something. So I was like holding and like tilting my head. And there was this like old guy next to me sitting, and he looked at me and he was like, "Wow, you look like a snake." And I was like, "What?" As if like somebody insulted me in a really bad way. I was like, "What? How do you dare call me snake?" And he was like, "No, it's so beautiful. Do you know like what the snake does? How they go through transformations? They shed their skins. They move in the most toughest like area." Like he started to describe me. And then that was suddenly my phobia dropped from snakes. Like I don't dream of them anymore and I don't have nightmares with them. It just, he changed my perception from it. Like he highlighted the good part of it, which I was not seeing before. And suddenly that thing is gone away. And this is the same we just talked about. Like we need to highlight the good part of the masculine side of us, the feminine side of, instead of like fighting and like, getting further away from each other. It's about changing our perspective. And the snake, that's why I put the snake there, yeah.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing. This is intense and I think also very personal because like, of course, like coming together with all of these pieces of creating your new life and leaving behind things. Honestly, I think it's a beautiful, it is a bit scary, but also it's like it's very powerful to do this step and cutting it. But actually losing a fear by going through it and balancing it is even more difficult. I want to say that Egan, the third step, is something that you have to build up. So you have to go through the first step and the second to build up the strength and actually the wisdom, as we found out right now, to balance out the fight in the right way, right? And
yeah.
I'm actually, by the way, I'm a huge fan of Japanese culture and martial arts. I did a lot of Aikido and Zen Buddhism and stuff. So also, and I love the book Musashi by Eiji Yoshikawa, which goes through this kind of fighter and Budo stuff. And this idea of a samurai standing in front of the other, this kind of looking for each other for 3 hours without moving. And it would be the fight is like inside them, balancing with like the eyes. And then it would be just one movement and the fight is over, right? And you go through and then it's like one cut and it's over. So it's like super interesting to, and not like German knights crushing in each other with horses and whatever and screaming like,
yes.
I don't know, it's different. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And I think... I mean, what helps you to go through fights to balance things? Do you have a tea or is it a cookie that you bake or a dish that you, how is it? Or what do you,
when I'm having activity, a super downtime, you mean my comfort?
When you're preparing a fight, preparing to balance the fight, what do you do? What does Dorsa do?
As I said, I'm super try to like listen to my body, and there are moments that, yeah, I'm kind of a spiritual person, but in a sense of trying to be connected to myself and my surroundings. So there are moments that I feel my heart chakra is closing. And that's when I know like, okay, something is happening. Something is not right. And I'm not somebody who does meditation every day or yoga regularly. I mean, I'm trying to get into it, but realistically, I'm not there. And so I try to do meditation, especially when the heart chakra is closing. Even if it's like 5-10 minutes a day or something, that really, really helps somehow to open that. Sometimes I know where where I need to fight, where it's coming from. For example, it's self-doubt or something. Then for maybe 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, every day I listen to these like affirmations that I just find them on YouTube or whatever, an affirmation that just talks to you about your confidence or whatever. Little things like this right now is what I can't think before what I was doing, but now these are the tools that I use. And I'm also aware that, okay, sometimes my body feels really like tired. You know, I look at my cycle, where I am, it's normal or not. But if it's related to my mental condition, then I'm like, okay, I need to exercise because I need that level of energy. And so I'm really trying to hear my body, hear my like thoughts and go based on that. Sometimes it's journaling, going to nature helps me a lot. Being with trees, I love being with trees, or swimming in lake or water. Sometimes I even like touch the tree trunks. I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
come
get
on,
me
it's
energy,
great. Yeah.
Or like get this like darkness inside me out, or this anxiety or stress. So I do a lot of these things randomly.
Well, it's a lot. Amazing. I mean, what I really like was like, and I just do this meditation and it really helps. And I mean, heart meditation. How powerful is that? The portal, the door for transformation, the creative center of like actually connecting with the world, right? So important to kind of focus on that one. And I really like this kind of, you don't need to wait for the next retreat or, you know, a breath work workshop or, you know, fly somewhere to do this. You can just do it in your home, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, beautiful. And just, I also like, pick some random affirmation on YouTube. It's like you don't need to buy anything or read through anything, right?
Yeah, I think you need to connect with it. Sometimes I'm like affirmation for self-doubt and I watch 10 videos and I'm like, nah, I don't like the sound of it. No, I don't like the okay. tone. And then you find one. Yeah.
You can make a collage maybe. Like, would be like next level.
That. Yeah, art for me is like therapy. So it's like meditation because my mind doesn't wander around in conversations with itself. So that's a form of meditation for me as well. Yeah,
beautiful. How long does it take you actually to make an artwork like this? Just to, out of interest. Depends, right?
It depends, exactly. So the first one took me maybe just one evening. Mm. And then the third one and fourth one, for example, took me like 2 weeks maybe. Because there was like one piece that is missing that I cannot figure out. Or the composition just doesn't feel right. So yeah, it could be in 2 hours or like a week or 2 weeks because something is missing there and I need to keep searching for it until I find it. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, interesting because you were saying like the first one, Abyssos Doubt, was something that you mastered. You went through it and you feel up on top of it. And then, yeah. No, but I like that. I like to kind of, and I mean, this is interesting, right? If you're pondering, you think about something, for me, it is with text. So I had to finish like a chapter for a book that I'm participating. And it was like, the title was not right. Mm-hmm. And I gave it someone to read also. And it was like, yeah, I don't really get it. And I was like, damn. And I was like pondering. And then you go out somewhere different and then you come back and you get the answer, right?
Absolutely.
To kind of refresh your mind.
Yes, yeah. This pauses and it's also part of the creative process, which I've learned to accept. Because sometimes as an artist, you know, like maybe for like 2 weeks, you don't feel like doing it or you don't have or something is not there. So I was always like biting myself, like why I cannot create. But it's a part of it because you're still absorbing information, the events around you, your thoughts. And there's one day that it clicks and it just pours out of you and you just create like 3 days nonstop, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I still have this idea. It's something that's really strong inside of me. I think it was in November or something when I was like, I made this plan. I was like always driving from Berlin to Herzogenaurach, a beautiful German name. It's actually next to Nuremberg, which is Bavaria.
That's where our headquarters are, the company I work for.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There was our the client that we both were working for.
Yes.
The brand with the three stripes. And I don't know why, but when the train goes over the Thuringer forest, it has these moments where you go over the mountains and there was also some snow. And then you have this, I had this moment of, I want to be out in nature. I want to have this flow day connection because I also studied flow and this kind of idea on being in a remote place working, right? Mm-hmm. On this flow day, one day month, I would call it. And then C.G. Jung actually came to mind, which kind of Carl Gustav Jung, actually the inventor of psychotherapy and an author of so many things. And what he did was like going every Friday out in his actually it was his it's the house of his mother, and where he rebuilt this kind of study for him, and he went out and doing this. And I honestly have to say, this is one of the biggest goals that I have, to mm-hmm. find this place. And I have this place at Uckermark, north of Germany. We need to go there together. It's the Glass House by Sigurd Larsen. Amazing. And you see, you know, it's all made of glass, and really, really good. I went there with two friends. So this is a good point of doing this, but I still am searching for this kind of, you know, remote energy, going out and go there and have this as a, yeah, as a ritual.
Same. Yeah. It's my dream as well to have that. Ideally beachfront, ideally somewhere sunny.
Water.
Yeah, it's my dream. I'm actually working towards it, so.
Nice.
I want to be there. I'm going to get there.
You're going to get there. Perfect. Yes. Yeah, I mean, honestly, maybe this is even a startup idea for every artist and, you know, founder, whatever, going out and looking for this room or places. No, let them be here. We do our own. we'll be on our own here. Dear, let's come to the fourth and last part. How sad. I want more artworks. I want to talk about more. Well, let's talk over it again. And it's Lucis, which is the fourth step of the hero's journey, where you went through the ups and the downs, you had the big fights, you were discovering your real name also. I find this super nice, this depiction of truth that you gained through the story. And then you are master of two worlds, right? This mm-hmm. is one of the, I think this is something that we can see in this artwork, this two sides, and yeah, being there, becoming there. I see a lot of gold in there. I see also greens in there. Can you walk us a bit through the process?
Yeah, this one is also, it took me a while to create it, but the core of it was very, it came out straight away because it's like one figure, but there's like two people coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And this is how I think we all are. I mean, when we go through transformations, when we come out at the end, we learn to accept the other sides of us. Mm. That is acceptance. And the process keeps happening and happening and happening. So it's not like you kill 10 dorsals, you know, like it's always there. You learn to accept it and you merge it into this new person that you are. You take the learnings from it and it's always there. And the color green for me is like lightness, hope, health. The colors in this artwork are more like happy, let's say, but in a very like pastel toned down way.
Subtle way.
Which how I can say, like, maybe I feel in this phase of my life right now, like pastel colors, you know. Sometimes I describe things in colors, you know, like, I don't know, Tuesday for me is orange. I don't know why my mind associated with that, so
lovely.
And gold, why not?
Synesthetic synesthesia, right? It would be like this combining senses, and I love it because it's like this kind of, she comes out of this heavy stone, this graffiti stained stone, which also tells a story, right? There's a foundation, and then then there's this beautiful way of being two person in one, right?
Mm.
And then the gold even there. Yeah
And it's kind of harmonious, so it's these two these two figures are not clashing. They're like one thing, you know,
creating something out of it,
like
something
a flower new. Coming out.
And I mean, powerful also. So this is something that I really liked about this, because it's perfectly describing this kind of fourth step. It's kind of, you are someone new. You're, mm-hmm. throughout this journey, you have become something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really, really beautiful. How does that? I mean, interesting that you said this is how I feel right now. So would you say, is this part of the life that you've created, where you stand now, where you feel also some sort of satisfaction on what you've achieved?
I still feel all the rest, you know, because it's ongoing. They come and go. But where I am right now, it feels like I'm in the right path, let's say. So That story that I told you, I cut everything. Like, I was in very wrong path. And now I feel I am in the right path. Of course, I can always, like, move in and out of it. But I'm pretty comfortable with where I am, what I'm doing, because it feels right inside me. I know there is still a long road ahead of me. I have still places to go and goals to reach. But it feels right, like, and light, like the, these pastel colors. It doesn't feel like dark and heavy. Yeah.
Yeah, and pastel colors are so subtle and so translucent, I'd say, and beautiful, because they are not stained with too much, right? Mm. It's just the right balance. So
yeah.
Hmm. Beautiful. Anything that you, that helps you to achieve this state of mind? So something that you would say that you, once you have walked a certain journey and you have, you were overcoming also difficult mm-hmm. moments, is there something that, how do you celebrate?
How do you celebrate? I mean, one thing that is really important, I think people who surround you, and as you go through this journey, I think you need to accept that certain people will be less visible. You don't maybe need to like cut them, but like they're just not going to be there as much, because the vibrance or the frequency is just different. And yeah. I think this is something, this is a difficult part of the journey that you need to accept it. And then as you move forward, new people come, and this actually makes it it helps a lot. Like, through especially the dark times, tough times, the friends that I have around me, if they were not there to give me the little push or to be the right shoulder to cry on it, you know, it makes a big difference in so many aspects. So I'm super grateful for them. And I know I met them because I'm like here where I am. If I stayed where I was like 15 years ago in UK, I would not have met any of these people. Yeah.
Also very interesting and beautiful realization that you have met the people that you have met today because of your story and, mm-hmm. and everything you went through, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Which makes it so, it doesn't make it random, but it makes it, you can't really plan for it. You can't predict it. It just happens.
It just happens. Process, yeah. Yeah.
Trust the process.
Exactly. Yeah.
Beautiful. Any advice from maybe your wise grandmother, uncle, someone that you have followed in life that really helps you, or a teacher, or maybe someone that you randomly, that you read about, Rumi, something that...
When you said grandmother, so one thing that my grandmother, because my grandmother had at certain points like very tough phases in her life, but she was always the most grounded, chilled, and happiest person. You always look at her and she was glowing. And one time we asked her, we were like, why, like, how, you know? And she, I always remember this, and this is always in my head. She said, I'm never jealous of anyone. Things has happened to me. Maybe I've lost my home. Maybe I've lost my husband. Maybe things has happened. I'm always satisfied with what I have around me. I don't look at others with jealousy. This jealousy is what poisons your mind and your heart and your surrounding. So this is something that I always remember and I go by. And when I look at people who have more than what I have, I don't get jealous, I get inspired. I don't sit there feeling like why they have it, why I don't have it. I get inspired. So it's, again, change of your perspective. So instead of my heart getting closed or getting poisoned or dark, it actually opens up to it, because I believe, okay, if they have it, I can have it too. So yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, I always heard envy, to be envious someone else is something that can guide you, but to be jealous is actually something that's, it's more or less, it's a difficult feeling, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, can relate to this because, yeah, it is a feeling that connects deep with your fears, actually.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if it can be a good teacher also to follow that jealousy, but
exactly.
not to give in.
You need to follow it and see where does it come from. I mean, if you do it, it's great, but a lot of us often don't do it, you know, we get stuck in the loop. But yeah, that's the advice from my grandma. Don't be jealous of others. That's a happy formula for her life, yeah.
Perfect. Thanks for sharing. And now coming to an end, also with this podcast, last kind of idea on this, because if you've went through all of the phases and you also, and I have to say thank you so much for this, because it was also a super nice feeling of doing this with you, because I remember you were presenting all of the artworks to me without gluing. So it was like super moment. It was like super fragile, and like drink the tea. And I tried to not to kind of even
don't
breathe too much with the tea. And I was like blowing on the tea and the cup of tea. I was like, no, don't do it too much. It was really beautiful. And then, you know, this moment when you, I think it was last week when you gave it to me and presented it. So yeah. It was such a, thank you so much, such a beautiful process. And the last word would be like, what is wisdom for you? So if you go through all of the stages, how would you define wisdom for you personally?
Oh, tough question. Wisdom. I think being super connected to yourself and control your reactions. So wisdom right now for me is not be reactive to what's happening around me. Be able to observe it first, explore it if needed, then show a reaction. I think right now, if you ask me in 2 years or 5 years, the answer could be different. But right now, this is how I see it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
So many very also like truth out of your life. I think it was very inspiring. Thank you so much. And yeah, where are you heading next? We're spring now here in Berlin. Mm-hmm. What is up your schedule?
Well, next week, first day of spring, is Iranian New Year, actually. Yes, we celebrate the rebirth of nature and also rebirth of ourselves. So I'm super excited. I'm clearing all of the things at home. You start from your home, then yourself. And I have some exciting art projects lined up, so I'm super excited with that. And I'm working towards that dream that I told you, to have a place by the beach so I can escape to. So I'm also going to investigate on that. So yeah, exciting things is waiting. And with all of that, new feelings come, so new work and artworks come out, yeah.
Best of luck to this. And
thank you
so
much.
Beautiful to end this podcast with this news.
Thank you for having me.